Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to a rainy day in the know. Sister Reed, how are you doing this wet evening?
I am happy and dry, Brother Bullock. How are you?
You know what? I am fine. And, you know, and I got to be honest, on this part, end of town, it really started coming down. And for a second there, I thought someone was knocking at the back door until I turned and looked and realized that the wind had shifted and was blowing the rain up against the patio door, and we have a patio cover. But it was crazy out here.
Yeah, we are in for some wild weather in Central California. So those of you who live in the Central Valley, you might want to batten down the hatches and make sure you have enough supplies so you really don't have to go out, because it's going to be really bad out there this weekend.
Yes, indeed it is. And, you know, today being Thursday, I want to give a shout out to my people over at FAME, at Free AME, at 806 Collins. You know, on Thursdays, they do the food giveaway and clothing giveaway to the community. And, you know, it was a nice turnout today. And this happens every Thursday from 11 a.m. Yeah. till 1 p.m., or basically, you know, to be honest, this happens all during the day on Thursday. And also would like to give a shout-out to Brother Bobby Salazar for supplying a great array of breakfast burritos this morning. Mr. Salazar is a local restaurateur here and has several locations here in the Valley. And I would like to give him a shout-out for giving to the community, and not only with food, but with his time, you know, coming out and supporting Pastor Harris over at FAME.
Yes, agreed. It was a good turnout, and it was very uplifting to see Pastor Harris and the staffer from Bobby Salazar's praying with the young couple who obviously needed encouragement and a word. And it was uplifting to see that happening and to see the looks on their faces and to see their shoulders squared a little bit. So, yes, they're doing great work over at FAME, and I commend them for all that they do and their volunteers. So way to go, y'all, over at FAME. Keep on keeping on.
Keep it on. And also, it is Women's Month, and shout out to all the women who have made differences in our lives. And this Sunday, during their special program, their first speaker for Women's Month will be Sister Shy Joyce, and she will be leading it off. And if you have no other plans, please turn out and come hear this young woman speak, because I have a feeling it's going to be something very uplifting and dynamic.
Absolutely. And if you cannot get out, if the weather is prohibitive for you, please watch it on Facebook Live, where we'll be streaming. It streams every week, every Sunday. And listen to the sister. And please make comments so they know that you are watching and supporting.
Yes, indeed.
So as Brother Bullock said, this is Women's History Month. And I think it was yesterday or the day before that, it was actually International Women's Day. And so tonight we're going to be talking about domestic violence. And I want to just throw some stats out there for the folks, Brother Bullock, if that's okay with you. It appears that DV, domestic violence, crosses social lines, race, and sometimes even gendered lines. There are, if you have couples or life partners, you sometimes have male gay couples, lesbian couples, and that does not preclude them from experiencing domestic violence. So with that being said, let me just share some stats with you. In the U.S., one of three women and one in three men have experienced some form of physical violence by an intimate partner, and this includes slapping, shoving, pushing. However, domestic violence can also be verbal and psychological, and that encompasses tearing down someone's self-esteem or their self-worth. On average, get this, on average, 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the U.S., and the source of this comes from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So people, it should be understood, the people who are suffering from emotional abuse also suffer from, it's sort of like PTSD, stress, anxiety, and depression. And we do need greater public awareness for this. So I just want to say this. If you're listening and you see something, say something. Now, teachers, pastors, people like that are mandated reporters, but I'm of the mind that everyone should be involved in combating domestic violence.
Well, no, I was getting ready to say, you have said a mouthful with that, and you are absolutely correct when you say, if you see something, say something. I think far too long people have sat back knowing about a situation and not spoken on it because they have an old mindset of, well, you know, I'm not directly involved and it really isn't my place to say anything. But, you know, if you know someone is in suffering and in a situation that may cost them, of all things, their life, you should speak up and say have something to say.
Right. That, absolutely. And, you know, some people don't recognize, you know, some people are in denial about how domestic violence works. But let me just say this, that usually there is a cycle to domestic violence. And the cycle is you have a buildup of tension and stress with the alleged abuser, right? And then you're going to have the acute battering incident. That's going to happen. And then after that, it's sort of like an aftermath. It's going to be tranquil. I call this the honeymoon phase until it starts all over again. And some people might ask, well, you know, why don't people just leave? And there's many reasons why men or women don't leave. Sometimes it's financial, that the person doesn't think that they can make it on their own. Sometimes it's, you know, they say, oh, well, we've got kids together. And, you know, Brother Bullock's slideshow shows some children with their face covered, with their ears covered. And so you have to ask yourself, what is this doing? What is this doing to children who are seeing domestic violence? And sometimes it's generational, you know, and you have to ask, do you want to cycle? Do you want to make it better for your kids? I know in my generation, it was sort of spare the rod and spoil the child, but I also know some people who are a generation younger than me who do not believe in spanking their kids. They don't want any kind of intentional hitting going on. So with that said, let me just give out the call-in number. If you have something to say about domestic violence, please call us at 563-999-3043. Once again, that's 563-999-3043.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it's funny how things kind of translate over the years and things of that nature, because, you know, at one time say 50 years ago, there were some doctors and therapists who would call domestic violence, they would call it therapy, you know, saying that some couples were in an abusive relationship because they balanced out each other's mental quirks. And believe it or not, in 1964, you know, they did a study that kind of came down with that same calling that, you know, that the man was the ruler of the home, and what his word was bond, and women pretty much were like children and treated like either children or treated like property. And he had a right to spank her or beat her or have someone else do it for him. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, but understandable. I mean, if you look at history, and I'm talking about like history from ye old England, it used to be legal to beat your wife as long as you weren't doing it with a switch that was bigger than your thumb. And that's where we get the phrase rule of thumb from. But no, you're absolutely right. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to just insert this because you set this up for me just perfectly. I have been reading about a trend called let me make sure I get this right. It's called trad wives, traditional wives. And with this, they want to live a traditional 1950s type model wife. Now, the husband makes all the big financial decisions. He's the king. And I just wonder, and apparently this is like Hobbes racial lines or anything like that, and I'm wondering what kind of implications that's going to have on domestic violence issues if these younger women are choosing this traditional wife model to live by. It was kind of chilling for me just reading that.
Yeah, and to me it is. And, you know, I'm going to just be honest, that Leave It to Beaver lifestyle may work for Hollywood and television, but I can't see that happening in real life.
See. But some people, you know, it's almost, Brother Bullock, like the world is getting turned back on a dial. So you have all this, constant, really, of racial hatred, you know, and not just of Black people, but of Asian people, of Latino people. And then you have these so-called Christian traditional values or this traditional wives kind of syndrome. And you wonder, like, where is this going? And this just plays into the whole thing with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, where women are not smart enough, you know, they can't decide what's right for their body. And so it's sort of a frightening trend for me, but I don't want to get too far away from the domestic violence, because that is definitely what we're talking about. But all these things play part of it. And these Beaver scenario, they're talking about living like the good old days. Which good old days are we talking about? Because those were not the good old days for people.
You know, you were putting some numbers out there, and I was looking at some things. And here in Fresno County, I went and took a look at some numbers that had to do with domestic violence and domestic attacks in the home. And these are some numbers that I came up with.
All right.
So in Fresno County alone, in 2021 to 2022, weapons that were used in domestic violence, you had 91 gun attacks, 90 knife attacks, and they took strangulation and suffocation and put it in the same category. and you had 368 attacks of that nature. And pretty much that is someone being physical, grabbing someone by their throat and, you know, choking them and swinging them around.
Right. Right. You know, and what a lot of people don't realize now that it's not just a one-sided thing where, okay, well, the police are going to show up and the man gets taken to jail. No. Nowadays, if a woman fights back and she lands a punch or she's blocking somebody or anything like that, likelihood is that she's going to be arrested too. And she's going to go to jail. And then they're going to leave it for the judge to suss out, you know, who was at fault. But in the meantime, those are staggering numbers of domestic violence going on. And, you know, we were talking about this just the other day. I'm wondering what the pandemic did to those suffering from domestic violence, because think about it, you know, things are shut down. Kids are not going to school for a while. And you are locked in a house or an apartment with your abuser, and you can't get out because there's a pandemic going on. Can you imagine the guys? Yeah, that's really scary.
And
those are serious numbers. Hold on.
Well, you just brought something to light, and that is, okay, well, because of the pandemic, you know, a lot of places switch from working on a job site to some, you know, some folks being able to work at home. And you just brought up something, you know, that I don't think a lot of people thought of. Well, you had people working from home. You also maybe had a few kids going to school at home. So now you got the pressures of trying to hang on to a job while at home. Your children are trying to go to school at home. Everybody's trying to do school work or do work to support a family, and all of this is starting to mesh together. He may be working or she may be working in a room, and the kids are supposedly doing school work in another room, but they're always in there loud. And all of this, you know, causes some people to reach that point of frustration. I told you to be quiet, and you're interrupting my job, and I can't do this. And someone lashes out.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so, you know, this is what I was saying earlier about people are asking sometimes, why don't people leave? Well, sometimes you can. I know that probably doing anything during the pandemic was probably difficult. But also you have to take into account what the professionals call batter women syndrome. And the truth of the matter is that only the person that's being abused can really decide when they want to leave. And it's up to them to decide if when it's safe to leave, because the truth of the matter is that sometimes abusers do kill their victims. You know, and they can and do kill their children.
That
so,
is true.
You know, in fact, here in Fresno County, and Brother Bullock, you know this because you and I went to high school together. There's the Battered Women's Shelter here in Fresno that's called Marjorie Mason. And, you know the story of how that came to be named.
Yes, I do.
For Marjorie Mason. You want to share that?
You know, that is...
Because I know that Marjorie and her family have been trying to talk to the sheriff about the person who wound up taking her life, so...
Yeah, apparently they had tried to reach out on several different occasions, and for whatever reason... kept running into that stone wall, that blue line, until unfortunately it reached the point of no return. And I'll leave it there, because, you know, whenever I think about that, that was something that should have been dealt with on that person's professional job. I mean, you had people there that could have dealt with that.
You could have and did not. And it's unfortunate because Moultrie was with somebody who was working as a deputy sheriff, I believe, and she contacted, you know, the sheriff's department and said, "Hey, this is, you know, what's been happening. Can you do something?" And it turned out that they didn't do anything, and the person that we're talking about wound up kidnapping Marjorie, holding her for several days. In a home in Southwest Fresno. She was raped and ultimately murdered. And, you know, it's unfortunate because she tried to help herself. And so moving, you know, from a scenario like that, I wanted to talk about restraining orders because a lot of people say, well, you know, just get a restraining order and that'll solve all your problems. Well, that doesn't always work. You know, it's just a piece of paper. And I've worked in the domestic violence community before, and I know for a fact that, you know, you have to know the person that you're getting that restraining order issued, whether or not that's really going to stop them from doing anything. Now, I know that a lot of judges will fine domestic violence abusers, and they will force them to go to anger management classes that they have to pay for, and that's all well and good, but a piece of paper is not going to stop an abuser from hurting or killing their victim. So there's something to be said about being careful and doing what you need to do to keep yourself straight when dealing with domestic violence. And I just want to share our call-in number again. If you have something that you want to say about domestic violence, if you have experienced it yourself or you know somebody and you want to share that story, please call us at 563-999-3043.
You know, and, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, domestic violence, which is also called, you know, intimate partner violence, you know, it, you know, they always talk about, well, you know, like you said, you should just bail out, just leave, just run, just hide. Unfortunately, in today's world, it really is that simple because people still have to function. You know, you have to go to work. You have appointments that you may need to make. And when I was counseling, I known of some women who were attacked as they were going to doctor's appointments or they were picking their children up from school. Yeah. But, it, you know, like you said, it goes both ways. I've known men who have been attacked coming out of their jobs by a spouse, you know, who felt like they had the right to do so. So,
exactly.
You know, a lot of times we talk about domestic violence on the aspect of what a man does to a woman. But like you said earlier, it truly works both ways.
Mm-hmm. It can, and it does. And, you know, so far as getting help or helping somebody that's going through this, look, in my research, it's like, okay, if leave if you can, seek outside help, or if you're staying or pretending that you can, that you're okay with staying until you can find a way to leave safely. But the main thing is making a plan and sticking to it. You know, and there are networks across the country that can help women with that. There are shelters across the country. When I was working in the industry, I had a woman from Phoenix, Arizona, who came to Fresno with her five children. And you know, it was a very difficult case because this woman didn't just need a restraining order. She was filing for divorce and all that. And, you know, she was told to come to Fresno. She came to Fresno. They didn't help her. And her husband was a big shot at a large banking institution in Phoenix. He hired the detective, followed her to Fresno, and kidnapped three of her children. So this was a very, very, you know, long process. This sister finally got her divorce, but it was not an easy case because of, you know, living in different states and that sort of thing. But she finally got her divorce. I'm happy to say I was able to help her with that. But in the meantime, she had to fight very hard to get her children back.
And you just said something that caught my ear, like, what? Now, she obviously running for a good reason, and this man had hired a detective to track her down and kidnap her to bring her back.
Yeah, kidnapped her children to bring her back.
Wow.
He tried to get her to come back because he took three of the kids. They were boys, and, you know, this was a Muslim who decided that, hey, well, if I take the kids, she'll come back. And she didn't. She stuck to her guns and transitioned, but she had to fight to get her kids back.
Man.
So that was a struggle. But, yes, these kind of things, these kind of stories happen all the time. And for people who are listening across the country, I want to just say, if you don't know the name of a local shelter in your area, you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Once again, that's National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233, or you can log into thehotline.org. That's thehotline.org. So, you know, I wonder, Brother Bullock, like how many of us know somebody or have seen somebody go through domestic violence. You know, some of us who have not had an intimate partner be violent against us but grew up in a home that was abusive understand these stories, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm so adamant about this, because as a child who survived living in this kind of household, and the thing is that people think, oh, well, what? But it doesn't happen every day. Abuse doesn't have to happen every day for it to be abusive. You know, sometimes the abuse is not just physical, like we were saying earlier. Sometimes it's psychological. And I wanted to share the five signs of emotional abuse. The first one is that the person, the abuser, is hypercritical of you or of someone in the home. The second is that they ignore boundaries. They just do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. The third thing is that the abuser is possessive or controlling. The fourth thing is that they try to manipulate all the time. And the fifth thing is that they dismiss you and your feelings. And that's the five signs of emotional abuse. And I think it's bad enough to do it to adults, but it's doubly bad when you do it to children.
Yeah, and I'm quite sure, you know, as you were saying, you know, I didn't grow up in an abusive household, but, you know, growing up in the time frame we did and in the neighborhoods that we lived in, you saw or knew of some who were having these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget a schoolmate whose mother came to our front door one day and was just beaten to a bloody pulp because her husband was upset because he had a bad day at work. And my dad and my uncle went down the sidewalk to deal with him, and my grandmother mm-hmm. and mom took her inside and you know, got her cleaned up and straightened out. And I remember, you know, my classmate and his siblings and their mom staying with us for a while until, you know, they could get situated. But the father ended up going to jail and staying there for quite a while. But,
That's good.
You know,
that,
we...
That is good.
You know you've seen it at some point somewhere.
Your family was really on the mark, that extended family, taking them in and looking after them, because not everybody is willing to do that. And even police officers will say, look, you know, the most dangerous situation you can have is domestic violence situation. And they, you know, that's been that, they've been talking about that kind of thing for decades. And so, yeah, people get really upset about that. Now, for me, for my family on the outside, and don't get me wrong, I love my parents very much. My dad was a typical, you know, World War II kind of 1950 kind of guy, and he was very controlling.
My
dad was a hard worker. I don't want to paint it like he is this monster, but I do want to say that it was very, my sisters and I did experience a lot of emotional abuse. And so, you know, and that's one of the reasons why my parents separated. That's how I wound up living in San Francisco for 6 years, because my mom had had enough. And, you know, she wanted something different. But, you know, here we go with the finances. You know, we wound up coming back to Fresno. And the whole thing would have started again, but my sisters were old enough that they, you know, moved out. So I'm saying all this to say that if you yourself are dealing with a domestic violence situation, if you happen to be an abuser and you hear and see some of yourself in the things that Brother Bullock and I are talking about, please stop what you're doing and get some help. You know, talk to somebody, talk to a therapist, talk to your pastor, talk to your friends. You know, are you triggered by drinking or drugs or whatever it may be? If you have a family, you know, you're probably hurting your family and yourself, whether you realize it or not. If you are the victim of an abuser, think about, and you have children, think about what it's doing, not just to you, but what it's doing to your children, because you don't want them seeing what you're going through and then going through that themselves. You don't want that to be a generational kind of trauma that gets carried forward, because sometimes it does. Just like with drugs or alcohol, that trauma can get pushed to another generation, and we don't want that. We don't want that to happen. A lot of times, you know, domestic violence, intimate partner violence is a dirty little secret. You know, I distinctly remember my mom, God bless her, saying, you know, whatever happens in this house stays in this house. So that meant only the people who were really close to our family knew what was going on. And it's not something that's easy for me to talk about, but this is part of my life's mission, that if I can help somebody else who is going through this, I want to be able to help them and say that, you know what, you can come out on the other side and have it be all right. You don't have to let it continue, and you don't have to expose your children to it on a long-term basis. You can and will be all right, and it can be dealt with. So it just takes planning and it takes diligence, but you can do it. Believe me, you can do it.
Yes, they can. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, how you had said earlier that domestic violence had just been around. And the more you think about it, it's been around since the dawn of time. I mean, remember back in the day, we used to see those little silly movies, you know, where the caveman would hit the woman over the head with a club, mm-hmm. drag her off by the hair to the cave so she could cook and clean.
That's right.
You know, and as a kid, you know, as you got older, you realize, hey, something about that just mm-hmm. was not right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Since the dawn of time, that has been the breakdown. You know, and we chuckled about it. Might makes right. I have talked to women and men in counseling sessions that I've been involved in, and you know, we're talking about a big woman and a smaller man. And I told him, look, pound for pound, the man is going to be stronger than this woman. It's just one of those things. And they would chuckle and laugh, but I have seen it live in person. I've gone to the courthouse with people. So it's not just about that, you know, might makes right and all that. And this is one of the reasons, Brother Bullock, that I'm concerned about these people who want to go back to these so-called traditional values and traditional role models of dealing with these things. I'm like, really? Really? Because it wasn't all wine and roses. It wasn't all sunshine and flowers for a lot of people. And heaven forbid you mix in alcohol or drugs, then you got a really big problem. So, but this is something, anything that's man-made, I think, can be improved on and changed. And so I just keep pushing. I don't try to get on a soapbox about domestic violence, but I do, if I see something, I will say something. And I have had friends who have gone through this and who I've just stuck by. I don't make judgments or anything like that. You just be there for them. So listeners, if you know somebody who's going through something and they come to you for help, please help them. And if they need you to stand by them, please stand by them. I'm going to call out our call-in number again. It's 563-999-3043. Once again, our call-in number is 563-999-3043.
You know, and you're right. You know, nowadays people have this thing about, well, you know, I wanted someone, I needed some help, but I was afraid of what people would think about me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you really have to put that on the back burner, because when it comes to something like domestic violence, the fact that you're not trying to get help really could lead to something very, very dangerous.
Exactly.
You know, someone losing their life because they're afraid to tell someone that they're being abused or being hit upon or just constantly put down. I look at some of these situations you read about where it wasn't a physical thing, but it was a verbal thing, and someone telling someone mm-hmm. that they're no good and they have no right to be on earth and things of this nature, where people start killing themselves because they've been verbally bullied. And
that is a very good point, Brother Bullard. I hope everybody heard what you said and will heed that. Please repeat what you just said. Because that is awesome.
Yeah, you know, it ain't always about the physical, where, you know, people being verbally bullied, verbally abused. You know, someone telling them, you know, you have no use, you're no good, you're this, you're that. Why don't you just take your life? Be careful of them folks. You know, you gotta get away from those type of abusers. Definitely call a hotline, talk to someone.
Exactly. And that is part of the problem that we live with in this U.S. society, I'm only saying that in the U.S. I know it's worldwide, but this is my reality. This is what I know, that violence in America is as American as apple pie. And we get exposed to violence so often in all areas of our lives, whether it's on the TV or on the news or in the music that we listen to. And, you know, we get desensitized to what it does to people on a subconscious basis. But we're absorbing all of that, and our children are absorbing all of that. And, you know, and that's really why it's so important to nip bullying in the bud at school or any place. You really have to nip it in the bud, because
you
that
really,
is setting
you
up precedent. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
You know, not only does it affect the other person, but like you were saying earlier, it affects if you have children in the household, it affects the children in the household. If you have pets in the household, it affects your pets. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what nobody say. Animals are just as sensitive as people. And, you know, abusers, they just don't go after the humans in the house. Abusers, they will do something to the pet. Because they feel like they can't get that person, and they know that that person likes that dog or likes that cat or likes that bird. They'll do something to the pet to get back at that person.
That's true. I've seen that. I have seen that with neighbors of mine growing up. I have seen that. So you are absolutely right about that. So this leaks into every aspect of a person's life, really. You know, this acceptance of violence and being in control. And so for those who are listening, if you can see yourself in some of what Brother Bullock and I are talking about, please, please change and get some help with that change. Anybody that's living and breathing can change that. And those of you who are experiencing domestic violence, you know, we implore you to think about your situation, how it's affecting your life, your quality of life, and if you have children, how it's affecting the quality of life of your children. You don't want to push that trauma into the next generation. You want to stop it and heal it, because healing is available, and it can make a difference. You know, when my two older sisters were alive, we used to talk about, we had each other, and that was part of our healing process, is talking about it and dealing with it on an individual basis. And I remember when I was doing performance poetry about 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, and I wrote a poem about this, and one of the lines in one of my poems talked about battered children as being like a battlefield. Everybody knows what a battlefield looks like after the battle is over. It's torn up. You got places where the ground is bloody and, you know, a mishmash. And just think about a battlefield after the battle is over. That's how I viewed it with me and my sister. But because we had each other and because we were close, we were able to help that healing process. And you can forgive without forgetting, because at the end of my dad's life, all three of his daughters were there for him, even though on some level, you know, he might not have deserved it. But, you know, that's what healing will do. So I'm just saying that it is possible to get through it, but I don't want anybody out there listening to have to survive it, you know? You want things to be better in your life. You don't want to have to go through hard times if you don't have to. And believe me, I don't want you to have to live that life, that abused life. And I don't want to just sit here spouting, you know, statistics. But, you know, myself, Brother Bullock, we've seen what abuse will do. And you know, I know that he's worked in social services enough to know that there is help on the other side. So
definitely help on the other side.
Yes.
There's definitely help on the other side. And, you know, one of the things is you got to want it. And as you and I both know, and I know you also have run across this, for some reason, there are people out there who reach a point where they start to believe or feel like, well, I deserve what's happening to me because my life is like this instead of being like that. And, you know, this is a punishment for me, and I must have did something wrong in order to deserve this. Never, ever let yourself get into that frame of mind, because no one deserves to be abused and taken advantage of.
That's
a no-no.
That's
just the reason. Will you please give out that national number for contact again?
Yes, I will. It's the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and the number is 1-800-799-7233. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233, or you can log in to the hotline .org. So, or you can log into the hotline.org. I'm not giving out the local number for Marjorie Mason. That's easy enough for people to look up. But if you live locally in Fresno or Fresno County and you need a domestic violence shelter, you can contact Marjorie Mason Center here in Fresno. And I'm sure there are other shelters here in the valley in different cities like Tulare and Visalia and places like that. So I'm not giving out those numbers, but for those people across the country, try the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and they can they'll look it up for you and find out where there's a shelter close to you that you can call and get assistance.
And that's why I had you repeat that national number, because even though you may have somewhere locally that you can contact, I have found out that when you contact these national numbers, the response is a little bit faster. They tend to, because nationally, they have a few more irons in the fire than that little local place. And where you may call your local place for here, you know, Marjorie Mason is one of them, and we may have several more, but that's the beauty of the national number. That national number is going to have contact with several places, state, local, federal, that may be able to get you situated somewhere, somehow. Sometimes you may have to pull up stakes and leave the area you're in order to get the true help you need. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. There's really not. And, you know, if you need to go cross country, these places can hook you up with shelters until you get to your final destination. So keep that in mind. You don't have to stay where you are. You can make that move and do it safely.
I remember when I was, you know, working in Texas, I remember a lady, she was in a bad way, and they had made arrangements to get her to Detroit. They had hooked her up with an apartment. They had found a job for her, and they had found a place for therapy for her. And one of her big concerns was, I've never left the state of Texas. I don't know how to act out there.
Wow.
And I had to convince her, look, you act out there the same way you act here, the same way you go to work and function here, you go to work and function there.
Right.
I say it's just a matter of moving to a different place. but you're going to be who you are.
Right.
And
but obviously she hadn't thought about that.
No, and you know, that's another thing. And being black, I can only speak on the people I know, which is black folks. Even though I've worked with all kinds, but you know, a lot of times we're afraid to step out on faith. I ain't never been out there. I don't know nothing about that part of the world. Hey, the world is much bigger than your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to getting help, if you got to leave the neighborhood, leave the neighborhood. Get that help.
Absolutely, Brother Bull. You know, and you saying that really makes me think about the fact that it might take more than one try to make that move. And I just encourage, you know, women and men, if you need to try more than once to make that move, don't give up. Keep doing it until you get it right. Make your plans and stick to it. And I'm saying this as somebody who, after typing up restraining orders and things like that, going to court with my clients, being confronted inside the courthouse with, it, you know, indignant husbands and boyfriends who want to beat me up because I filed the paper. And more than once I've had to say, back up, because I will press charges. You know, back up, hit me if you want to, but I'm filing assault and battery charges. And I'm not going to change my mind. And it's frustrating sometimes for domestic violence workers, because sometimes, you know, the victim will go back to their abuser because that's what they know. I refuse to give up on them, and I don't want them to give up on themselves, because ultimately only they can decide when it's time to go permanently. But, you know, Brother Bullock, you make such a good point about encourage this woman from Texas to make that move to New York, you know, so that she could be safe and live her life. And so you didn't give up on her. You know, you encouraged her to move forward and do it in a positive way. And we need more people who are doing that for people who are victimized by abusers. So,
you know, I hung in with her because I knew if I didn't encourage her to leave, that the situation she was in was not going to end nicely. And lo and behold, a few months later on, I found out that the person that she had been involved with, who was doing these things to her, ended up losing her life for that very reason.
Wow.
She was in a gay relationship with another female, mm-hmm. and the other person that she had been dealing with was now dealing with somebody else. Well, and she was doing these same things, but that person ended up killing her.
Wow. And that's what we were talking about at the top of the show, that it could be sex abuse. Yes. Oh.
Yeah, the abuser.
Yes,
the abuser in that situation ended up losing their lives trying to play that game with somebody else.
Right. Right. So I'm glad that we had a chance to do this show. It's a difficult subject to talk about, not for me so much as it used to be. I've gotten older now, and I've dealt with the emotional stuff and worked through, you know, all the things that I needed to work through as a child. But it hits close to home for the people out there who are still going through it. So I'm so glad that, you know, in honor of International Women's Day and Women's History Month, that we did this show about domestic violence. It's so important that we did it.
Yes, indeed. And I hope that for those of you who are listening or those of you who will listen later on, when you go to blogtalkradio.com and pull it up, hopefully something we've said will touch a button with those that it need to touch a button with. If you are in need of help, please seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to someone. Get yourself in a better situation because, you know, I always used to say this thing. One of my favorite songs was by Prince called Pop Life. And there's a line that says, everybody can't be on top, but life, it ain't real funky unless you got that pop. And the thing about it is, you got to fight that fight. You cannot give up. Don't allow, don't keep allowing someone to push you around and walk on you. Get you some help so that you can move forward into the sunlight. Sister Reed, I'm going to let you close us out tonight.
Okay, well, you all know what I'm going to say. And I say this every show because I surely, surely mean it. I want you all to stay black till we get back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to give my props to my co-host, Sister Reed, because I know for her, this particular show was not an easy one. It's more than a notion to talk about some of the things that have gone on in your life. Isn't that something that's easy to do? But I definitely applaud her for having the courage to do so. And I'm going to tell you what I always tell you. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them proficient. Start a neighborhood watch. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Take care of those in your family circle, but most of all, take care of people, period. You know, I am starting to learn that, like Sister Reed said earlier, for some reason, there are a lot of people out there who want to go back into these hateful ways, disliking blacks, disliking Chinese, disliking Orientals, disliking Jews. Today, a young white man was sentenced to 42 years for burning a cross, trying to scare black people out of his community. We don't need that. There was a reason why we had the Civil Rights March, the Freedom Marches, the Freedom Rides. There's a reason why people were in the street behind Castillo and Brother Ferguson. There's a reason why Sandra Bland had people marching in the street. Look here, either we get it together and live together, or this world we live in will end up perishing. Domestic violence, we will never solve it, but we got to find a way to combat it. Foremost and up front, everybody take care of everyone. We will holler.